Thank you. All right, if you take your Bibles tonight and turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. 2 Samuel chapter number 2.
Yes, sir.
And I was thinking about this service tonight, what a blessing it is to be here.
Hey.
And preached out of this verse a few weeks ago at Mount Zion Baptist Church where we pastor over in Acts. And I'm just going to read it and say something about it. But the Bible said in Acts 5 and verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And I sure am glad for this life, aren't you?
Right.
And it was life that was once marked by ruin.
Bless the Lord.
And then we got rescued, we got redeemed. And I say thank God for his goodness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, would you bear with me for a moment? Boy, y'all stood early on me.
Go ahead, preacher.
Preached here Monday night on the subject, going further, and that was what was in our heart. And this song said this, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I growed up playing ball, not everybody cared for riding the bench.
Right.
That may not mean much to nobody, and maybe you'll get a hold of it here in a minute. But when I got saved and got around some of that old-fashioned crowd, I said, I know one thing, I want to get to where they are.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, brother.
Amen. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still, I'll pray till heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground.
Amen.
Ought to be our heart's desire, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Higher ground. It ought to be. Thank God for salvation tonight. But I tell you, Ephesians 3:20, I don't know if we've tapped into it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
Right.
And then our Lord said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yes.
Amen. So thank God for his promises. Well, I'm going to have to read several verses because I want you to catch up with me where I'm at. And it'd be easy to just read a few and try to take off and preach from there. But I want to give you the gist of everything that's going on right here. Because there's an event that leads up to, and we're going to deal with Abner tonight. Saul's general and his death. But there's some things that led up to his death here in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3. And it's good to have some of the background knowing what all went on right here. So the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 12, and Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out to Mahanaim to Gibeon, to Joab the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool, and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, let the young man now rise, and let them play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. And then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so that they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazor Rim, which is in Gibeon.
Yes.
And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And I'm trying to read fast, so stay with me. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was light of foot as a wild roe.
Yep.
And Asahel pursued after Abner, and going in, and in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn thee to the side of the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground, How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother? That lets you know what kind of man Joab
That's
was.
That's right.
Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore, Abner, with a hinder end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, the Bible said, stood still.
Yes.
I want to stop reading there. But years ago, I preached a message, and I want to give you the title of it right now, and I ain't preaching on it tonight. You better let Abner go.
Right.
There's some things you'll get in pursuit in life. I'm going to tell you, they're going to kill you.
Right.
Amen. It got quiet. Right. I don't know why it got quiet, but I'm telling you, there's something that we can pursue that'll destroy you.
Yes.
And his pursuit, Abner, cost him his life. Abner been around a long time.
Yeah.
He wasn't no novice. He wasn't no beginner. And he had been around a while. And I tell you, he destroyed Asahel.
That's right.
A lot of preaching right there. But let's go over in chapter number 3. Now there was long war between now the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And I'm going to tell you why that is. Because David and them inquired of the ark, but Saul and them, they never sought the ark in the days of Saul. Brother, you ain't going to benefit not praying to God. Verse number 2, and David unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon and Ahinoam, the Jezreelites. And the second, Kileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, in the field. And he goes on and lists these sons. Bible tells us in verse 6, and it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day in the house of Saul, thy father, and to thy brethren, to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman?" So we go on down to verse number 12. Let me come down to there. I'm just going as fast as I can and getting there as quick as I can. And Abner sent messengers to David on this behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make thee a league with thee, but one thing I require thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face except thou first bring Michael, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." So we have all these things going on. The Bible says in verse 17 that Abner had communication with the elders of Israel. He's trying to bring them over with David, trying to unite the kingdom and bring this thing under one leadership, under the throne of David. And Joab finds out that that Abner's been there with David, and David sent him away in peace.
Yep.
So we come over to verse number 22. "And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron." Now that word Hebron is a very important word to what we're looking at tonight. "For he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Then Joab and all the hosts that was with him were come. They told Joab, saying, 'Abner the son of Ner came to the king.'" You know who Abner is, right? He killed the brother of Joab, Asahel, and the other brother, Abishai. He killed Asahel, the brother of Joab and Abishai. So he finds out, and the Bible said he sent him away. He was gone in peace. When Joab and all the hosts that was with him were come, they told Abner about this. And Abner the son of Ner came away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away? And he is quite gone. Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee." Of course, it's Joab speaking. "And to know thy going out and thy coming in, and know all thou doest." And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well Sirah. But David knew it not. Verse 27 is where we'll stop. And you can say amen right there. You've been standing. Amen. "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly,
right,
and smote him there in the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother." Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. I do want to thank you, dear Lord, tonight for your goodness, your grace. We thank you, God, for Brother Sexton, this good church. And God, it's been a joy and a privilege getting to fellowship with them. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the message that Brother McBride preached and, God, how it stirred our hearts. And, God, I'm thankful, Lord, we have a position in Christ. And God, I just ask you, Lord, to please fill us tonight and use us. God, help us to preach. I pray for clarity of mind, clearness of speech. I pray that you loose these stammering lips, this stuttering tongue, and help us afresh and help us anew. God, help us, dear Lord. I pray to stay focused on this message. God, I pray that you would walk these aisles and deal with hearts. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for what you put down in our soul to preach on this Wednesday night. And God, Lord, they sung that could not stand. They could not raise their hand when we sung glory, glory, glory a little while ago. And I pray, God, tonight when this service is over, the next time that song will be sung, God, when it rolls in on Wednesday night, God, they'll be able to raise their hand. They'll be able to stand and shout the victory. God, they'll be able to rejoice with the saints of God and quit trying to look in on this thing and get in on it. Lord, we just need your help tonight. I pray, God, you go before us, stand with us and help us. And Lord, we'll not fail to thank you for what's done. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, for thy glory and honor's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to say several things, and I'd ask you to stay with me because there's really, I want to get to where here at the end of this message that God has no doubt put on our heart, and I want to preach on this subject tonight on don't wait too late. Now, it's pretty obvious. I've read enough Bible this evening in your hearing to help you understand that Abner waited too long, and he hung out at the gate of Hebron. And he would have been better off, friend, not to have ever allowed himself to get wrapped up with Joab. He'd have been better off to have not come to the place in his life where he is detained and where he is delayed. If he had just got on in, he could have found a refuge there. He could have found a place of respite and a place of peace and a place of rest. He'd have been safe there as long as that high priest was alive. And I say, and there's some wonderful typology in these verses when you look at them. There's some symbolism here, some typology. We know when you read the Old Testament, we have shadows and types of better things that was to come. And he talks about that in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews being the better book. He mentions that over a dozen times. And I sure am glad, thank God, we've got something in substance tonight. Not just Old Testament shadows and types and pictures, but we can look and see how that translates over into our New Testament and how the truths that God has established concerning salvation. There's a lot of wonderful things. I thank God for the Old Testament. I say praise God, hallelujah, and what we can learn from it. But let me give you several thoughts about Abner. I want to zero in on his character tonight with the good help of God. There were some things in Abner's life that he understood. And verse number 1 of chapter 3, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. So Abner understands He recognizes what's taking place. And we also see not only that in chapter number 3, but we see not only what he understood, but what he undertook. He said, you know, I'm on the losing end of this thing. And this thing ain't going right. And I'm going to swap sides, if you will. See, Abner's a good picture of a sinner about to make the right decision, amen, to come over to the proper king. Amen. I mean, it's a wonderful picture of what God has done in mine and your life if we're saved by the grace of God. There's a time when it's just like Abner. There's a moment in mine and your life we realized the road we was on was the broad road of destruction. And thank God we made the decision to leave that old path and get on the new road. Hallelujah. That straight and narrow road. That where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. You ain't going to get to heaven through the church. You ain't going to get to heaven through the baptistry. You're not going to get to heaven through trying to keep the law. Man of God preached on that last night. If you go to heaven, friend, you can thank Jesus Christ for it. Amen. If you wind up in hell, you'll have to thank yourself. And I don't mean that to sound rude or uncouth. I'm just telling you, it takes Jesus Christ, amen, to get me and you to heaven. There's no other way. And it's just that plain. It's just that simple. You say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. It's just as rotten under it as the last one you turned over. Amen. God wants you to be born again. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. And thank God he didn't complicate it. He didn't make it easy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. See, where the trouble's at is mine and your will. That's where you run into this trouble. But over in Genesis, when that eldest servant sent that eldest servant Abraham was sent out to fetch Isaac a wife and a bride, he asked Rebekah that question, "Wilt thou go with this man?" So it's a question of the will. I understand what he means in that verb or whatever, but it is a matter of the will. And I tell you, brother, we got a stubborn will. We don't like relinquishing control of our lives. That's what faith is. Taking your hands off your life and committing yourself to one whom you have not seen. She had never seen Isaac. She had never laid eyes on him. And I tell you, thank God, along that journey and along that trip, bless his good name. That servant was dishing out tokens of his master's affection and getting down the road, and he'd give her a bracelet and he'd give her a ring and he'd give her a token here and a token there. I sure am glad, thank God, tonight as we've come here to the house of the Lord, that God has given some tokens of his mercy and of his compassion, of his love along this way. Amen. Oh yeah, I ain't never seen him, but thank God I love him because he first loved me. Amen. So Abner understood some things. Abner undertook some things. Abner underestimated some things. I'd like to slow down right here. He underestimated some things. And I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to cost him his life. I talk about an earnest seriousness now. He underestimated the adversary he had met. He knew how dangerous he was. Come on now. He knew how dangerous he was. He told Asahel, really, he said, "I don't want to have to kill you because I don't want to face your brother down the road." Now, we could talk about him being an avenger of blood, and we could deal with all that, what the Old Testament teaches, but just stay with me now. Nonetheless, he knew he had an enemy out there. And I'm telling you something, friend, there's a devil in this world just as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit tonight. I've never laid eyes on him. I think I met some of his kin, but I never laid eyes on him. Amen. Amen. You just want to say amen. He said, "I married into this family. I don't know about all that." Amen. That's my mother. Oh, God help us. Come on, you can laugh a little bit. Amen. I'm glad I'm getting to know y'all some. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But I'm just telling you tonight, friend, there's a real devil out there. And he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he has nothing but ill content for you. Malice, hatred. The man is the chiefest of God's creation. The devil can't overthrow God. But I tell you what he can do. He can rip and tear at me and you. Amen. And try to get at God. I mean, he asked God. He said, "Doth not Job serve you for naught? Skin for skin, yea, all the man hath to give for his life." And he talked about all those things. I'm telling you, the devil wants to destroy mine and your life. The only refuge you have tonight is Jesus Christ. Amen. I was wanting to try to save that for later down the road, but we're here. Abner understood, Abner undertook, Abner underestimated. I separated his life, preacher, into three parts. He's a seasoned veteran. He's a military man. He's a seasoned veteran. He has a sincere view. And I'm telling you, he becomes the senseless victim of Abner's malice. There wasn't no need for him to die there. But he got over there fooling around one too many times. Brother, how many people have me and you know? I'm telling you, close to getting in. Close to getting in. Close to finding a refuge, close to finding a place of reprieve and peace and a place of forgiveness and tranquility and serenity. And they were close, but they walked out of the church house, never to come back. Well, I've been preaching, it's going on 28 years now, or right over 27, heading towards 28, that I've been preaching. I'm telling you, I've not seen a shortage of people that was close, but they never did get in. I'm thinking just now of a young boy. I was up preaching one Thursday night. My brother-in-law went and got him and brought him to Mount Zion. And I remember as I sat there and preaching, and my brother-in-law said, "Man, he got to shaking so bad." He said the whole pew was vibrating. I was about halfway through the message, and our boy jumped out of his seat. And I'm telling you, he run out of the church. Run out. Never to return. And OD'd a few months later and probably lifted his eyes in a burning hell. Are you hearing this preacher tonight? turned his back. I mean, he was right there, preacher. He come to church. I mean, he's at the threshold of getting in. But I tell you, brother, to be almost saved is to be altogether lost. So, I'm almost persuaded that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You need to repent of your sin. You need to turn to Christ and be born again before it's too late. I don't have no other message to preach. It's Christ. It's Christ or hell. Amen. It's Christ or judgment. It's Christ or the fire. I'm telling you, friend, it's either him tonight or the judgment of God's going to abide on you. We're condemned already. The preacher preached it last night. You ain't got to do a thing to die and go to hell. You're already ahead of that road. Jesus come, lay down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, I mean, he's done everything possible. He's put the church here, called men of God to preach throughout the ages. This thing's not a figment of our imagination. This ain't wishful thinking we're living on tonight. We're living a reality. I mean, the reality of a new birth. The reality of being born again from above. The life of God in the soul of a man. That's the reality we live in this evening. Amen. So he's a seasoned veteran. He had a sincere view, but he was a senseless victim. He should not die. He should not perish in this way. We see it, number one. I want to give you several things to think about, and I hope it's all right. Listen, we see Abner's discernment. Abner's discernment. He is seeing the reality of being on the wrong side. And I'm not going to labor these points none, but God put them on my heart. He is seeing the reality, the fruitlessness of the life he was living. But I tell you, that's where every sinner's got to get. I mean, you have to come that place. You know, most of this message I could say, preacher, is just about positive till I get to the end of it. And it's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. I'm not trying to paint Abner up as, got some big halo and some great Christian or nothing like that. But I'm telling you, it looks like we have a man that's come to the end of himself and saying, I can discern. This thing ain't getting better. It's getting worse in my life. 25 years, I growed up in Grundy County. I don't know if any of y'all much know where that's at, between Chattanooga and Nashville, on I-24. 25 years I lived, wasn't raised around church. I didn't know nothing about this good way we live in tonight. Zero. Didn't know anything. I was raised in a drunkard's home. And I don't mean that bad towards my dad, but I followed right in his steps. First time I went to jail, and I ain't glorifying sin. I'm just telling you where I come from. By the first time I went to jail, I was 15 years old. Went again when I was about 18. Is anybody out there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm telling you, friend, lived wicked, ungodly, but they was thank God for the day. Thank God for the day. I said, thank God for the moment, the hour when God began to deal with my heart and say, you're lost, you're on the way to hell, and you need a Savior. Oh, blessed day for all time. Holy Ghost, conviction, hallelujah. Bless his good name for the convicting presence of God that'll show a man he needs a Savior. That'll show a man he needs Christ. I'm talking about old time Holy Ghost conviction. But I don't know if I told him to give my testimony. Hey, I was in a boat fishing when I got under conviction. He said, ain't no way. Oh, yes way. Amen. I'd been to church with my wife, and I'd heard preaching. I'd probably heard half a dozen messages. Preached that Sunday night, and I raised my hand for prayer. I said, man, hey, it won't hurt me if they pray for me. I was mean as a devil, I'm telling you, but I knew I needed prayer. Yeah. Amen. I had that much sense. Knew I was going to wind up in hell if I wasn't careful. Raised my hand, never did do nothing about it, preacher, but I'm telling you, little time rocked on and didn't go back to church, scared me to death. I mean, I didn't know, it tore me up. I mean, I was tore up like coleslaw. Is anybody out there?
Sure.
It takes a lot to tear up coleslaw. I was tore up like coleslaw. And, I said, my soul. And it scared me to death. I said, I don't know if I want to go back to church or not.
Preach, brother.
And then one day, about somewhere around the end of 97, first of 98, I used to love to bass fish. It was my God. I mean, every Sunday I was fishing. I'm just telling you. I loved it. Son, I string up them bait casters, load up that flat bottom, throw my battery in there and my little old trolling motor and down the lake, them little old country lakes I'd go. And I was out there fishing one day. out there fishing, minding my own business. There was nobody on the bank singing Amazing Grace. There wasn't nobody playing a preacher preaching. And I'm telling you, God walked by and said, you're going to go straight to hell if you don't get saved. You say, I don't believe that. It don't matter. Hey, praise God, I know I'm saved. Amen. I'm not taking a poll on it tonight. You say, is that man a sinner? I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but this one thing I do know, where I was blind, now I see. Amen. I know where God brought me from, neighbor. I'm just telling you. And it tore me up. Somebody must have been praying. I still believe that.
Me too.
I believe somebody, Preacher Savage, was falling down on their face begging God to save Andy Lockhart.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Holy Ghost come by and offered me. See, I wasn't the only one fishing that day.
Right.
Amen. I wasn't the only one out there fishing. Hey, God. Woo! Hallelujah, neighbor. Praise God. Tore me up. I just reeled them bait casters up, got to squalling, couldn't control myself hardly. Just went back to the house. That was 4 days of cell phones, you know. And I went back and I called my wife. We was dating back then. And I said, Winnie, I said, there's something bad wrong with me. And I said, something got in the boat with me. Now, she was raised up in church. Had grandpas on both sides, old-fashioned preachers. Amen. She said, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're under conviction. You're under conviction. You know, and I think, what in the world's that?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be too far down the road, friend. Not too far down the road. Stumbled into a church on a Sunday morning, 180 people. I said, if I ever get saved, this way it is back home. I said, I'll get saved on a Wednesday night, and there's about 30 there.
Yeah. Right.
Too proud to go forward, you know, when there's a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That pride was going to wind up, put me in hell, what it was going to do.
Yeah.
I had a lot of discernment. My life wouldn't get no better. I mean, I had a little discernment. My life wouldn't get no better. I was like old Abner over here. I just like Abner. So my life ain't getting no better. But I stumbled into church that Sunday morning. Preacher got up and preached out of Psalm 10. It's, you know, and what's sad? Brother, it's about the Antichrist, and I felt like it was me. That's bad, ain't it? I was of my father, the devil, at that time. I'm just telling you. I mean, that's just the way it was. I said, who in the world's told this preacher all about me? Every time he run his arm out of that pulpit, it looked like it was 40 foot long and hanging on the end of my pew. Felt like his finger was right there. I mean, God, it wasn't the preacher that was making me nervous. It wasn't the choir that made me nervous. It wasn't the special singers that was tearing me up. It wasn't people's testimony. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost dealt with me. And I know not to give him more preeminence than I do the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God he's got an ambassador here to pull us in.
Hey.
Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. But the preacher asked this question. I got to hurry up. I got to hasten. Listen, the preacher asked this question. Ask yourself what's worth going to hell over. You know what? And I didn't tell this part a minute ago. That time when God dealt with me on that Sunday night and I raised my hand when I was about 20. Now I'm 25 at this point. When I raised my hand for prayer, and I thought, I need to go get saved. But I'm telling you, there were some things. I mean, it was like a screen. And I said, you know what? I just ain't ready to get there. I wanted fire insurance, but I didn't want to quit what I was doing. And I didn't tell this part, and it's important I tell it. It ain't storytelling time, but I got to tell it. That night, me and Wendy, after church, we left. I'm talking about when I was about 19, 20. And I said, would you talk to me and try to help me here? And she said, well, sure, you know. And we was talking. And she said, well, you're under conviction. You need to get saved. And she said, it's obvious God's dealing with you. I couldn't quit crying that night. And she said, if you'll ask God to save you, he'll do it. Don't run ahead of me yet. She told me the truth. But what she didn't know is what was going on in here.
Right.
That I wanted some fire insurance, but I wasn't willing to quit living, wasn't willing to quit doing some of the things I was doing.
Right.
Now, you may not agree with this, and that'll be all right. You just pray for me. I asked God, I bowed my head, asked God to save me, thought I was all right, started trying to read the Bible, started trying to ask blessing on food, and within about a week, I was right back to cussing.
Go ahead, brother.
Running up and down the roads. Acting a fool, staying in trouble. with everybody in Grundy County. You name it, brother, I stayed in trouble. That's what Lockharts do back in Grundy County. Well, not all of them. Some of them say. Brother Savage knows some say, and some of you fellas know some say. But stay with me. When I was 25, and God, I was sitting in that church and 180 people there, that preacher said, ask yourself what's worth going to hell over. And it was identical to when I was younger. The same things played right in front of me. Wendy leaned over, and I'm talking about, son, white knuckling, the pew. But I mean, that pew's probably got permanent handprints in it. You listen to me? Probably got permanent fingerprints in it. I couldn't even answer. In a second, I don't know how long it was. It didn't seem like long. She looked back over and said, you want to go pray? I was gone. And you say, why was you gone? I said, I'm not going to hell over a liquor bottle. I'm not going to hell over a liquor bottle. You ain't going to find no liquor in hell. You ain't going to find no dope in hell. Amen. You ain't going to find no loose, wild living in hell. But I'm telling you, oh, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of weeping. It's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's not a party. There's not a reunion. That man that died and went to hell in Luke 16, he said, I have five brothers testifying to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He says a place of torment at least four times in Luke 16. It's not a place of joy. It's not a place of happiness. I'm telling you, friend, it's misery and it is torment. That word torment in Luke 16 means to wreathe. It means to twist. It means to convulse. That's what that word means. You ever seen a worm in a fire? You ever be burning something and see an insect accidentally get in it or fly into it? I tell you, brother, listen, you can't stay in a fire and I can't stay in a fire. If you fool around, die and go to hell, that's where you're going. But you don't have to go there. I'm not going to preach on hell and leave you empty-handed tonight. Thank God there's a Savior. Thank God for Calvary. And when they come to the place called Calvary, oh, thank God they crucified him there for sinners like me and you. Hallelujah. He died. He tasted death for every man. That includes you. He tasted death for every man. He died for you. He died for your sin. He died for you. And he died as you. Hallelujah. Well, Abner knows what's going on. He had enough discernment. And I'm telling you, he was disillusioned with the life he was living under this kingship of Ishbosheth. He knows there's nothing there. He knows there's nothing there. And you ought to be figuring out tonight with the draw of sin, the depths of sin, the despair of sin, and the destruction of sin. There's nothing. There's no bright future in front of you. You may not be as bad as the man on death row, but listen, you say, I ain't deep in sin, but sin's deep in you. We've heard that for years. Amen. You got to be saved. You may be an outstanding, morally decent neighbor, but you have to be born again. Amen. So there's his disenchantment with this thing. There's his discernment. There's Abner's decision. He said, I got to get out of here. This ain't going good. Now I'm coming over and I plan on bringing as many women as I can. Yep. I mean, that's noble. That's good. Thank God for his discernment. Thank God for the fact he got disenchanted and disillusioned where he's at, serving under Ishbosheth. Thank God he had a good decision on his mind. I got to swap sides. I'm on the losing side. Yeah. If you're lost, you're on the losing side. If you're lost, you're on the losing side. I said, if you're lost, you're on the losing side. So there's Abner's decision. But I'm going to tell you something else Abner had. He had a devil after him. You know who his devil was? Joab. I see Joab as a picture of the accuser of the brethren in these verses. He said, ah, David, he just come to deceive you. Bible said that, and I heard a preacher say this not long ago. He's a young fella. You can overlook it. Ain't no preacher says everything absolutely 100% right all the time. We're going to get to heaven someday and find out there's probably some things we was wrong on. At least one or two. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Amen. 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 He said the devil ain't concerned about lost people. The devil is concerned about lost people. But if our gospel be hid as hid of them in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Bible said over in Revelation 12, and I understand the prophetical. I know where that fits in as far as prophecy is concerned and all that. But he said the devil's come down in great wrath.
Right.
He wants to destroy mankind.
Yep.
He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy you. These little precious babies up here, he wants to destroy them, mom and daddy. Whatever you do, amen, stay with the man of God. Stay with the ship. Stay in the place where God's planted you and raise your family around this old time way. Oh, don't leave this thing. Oh, you'll mess up if you do. So, well, they don't hold it as tight down under. Stay where it's tight. Stay where it's tight. Man of God ain't your enemy, he's your friend. And he preaches on things and he holds the line tight because he loves you and he wants to help you and he wants to take you on to higher ground. He ain't your enemy. Your enemy's out there somewhere. Amen. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. But I'm telling you, Abner had a devil after him. Joab is bloodthirsty. Joab is busy. Soon as he finds out that Abner's around, he's looking for an occasion to wreck him. Anybody in here trap? Any trappers in here? Brother, listen, we're in the country. Ain't no trappers in here. There's one. You don't just set traps random places, do you? No, you get to look around to see where everything, what you're after, is where it's at. And you bait it with what it likes. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And, I mean, you just don't go out here, so I'm just going to throw a trap over here. It don't work like that. I mean, you find out where that varmint, where that critter's roaming. You're well aware of what that critter's drawn to. And then you hide that trap where it can't see it. Is that right? I mean, you cover that thing up. I mean, it's not even noticeable. You don't announce to everything in the woods you're there. I mean, a good trapper, he'll wear something on his knees or he'll lay out a little rug that ain't got no scent on. I mean, he's masking everything he can so he can wait on that prey to come easing through. And I'm telling you, when that thing gets caught in that snare, when that victim gets caught in that trap, brother, it's for his life. I said it's for his life. And I'm telling you, there's a devil out there that wants to destroy you. He wants to wreck you. You can't see his traps. You probably didn't know he's out there, but he's out there. He's out there. I used to kill them little deer like that, you know. I finally figured out, I said, you know, most of these deer know I'm around. And I'm looking for a good trophy. Now, if you're a meat hunter, shoot them all day with spots. I don't care, and I hope y'all don't call Pete on me. Amen.
Go ahead.
I hope ain't no tree huggers in here and all that stuff. You ain't never eat backstrap or tenderloin, you don't know what you're missing. Praise God, with gravy and cathead biscuit and fried okra and green beans. Woo! I said hallelujah. Amen. There may be some backstrap in heaven waiting on us. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I said, you know what? I'm going to start going in a different way. I ain't going to announce that I'm here at everything. I said, I'm walking right by where them deer hang out. I'm going to have to go in a different direction. I don't want them to know I'm around. Well, the devil ain't sitting around advertising himself. Now, sometimes he does. Sometimes he's pretty bold. You can see out on them beer commercials, stuff like that. You know and understand all that. But a lot of times he's just slipping around, brother.
Yeah.
He wants to come in unnoticed.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll sit on the pew beside you.
Right.
Well, I wonder if Brother Kevin was talking about me a minute ago. I wonder if Brother Andy was shooting at me a minute ago. We ain't shooting at you. We ain't got time to shoot at you. Don't want to shoot at you.
Right.
I want to shoot at the devil tonight. Are you listening to me? And I guarantee. Hey, Abner had a devil after him, and I'm telling you, Joab was bloodthirsty. He was busy, and he was brutal. Stay with me now. He ain't just trying to hurt Abner. He ain't just trying to make life hard on Abner. But I'm telling you, he's got one thing in mind, and that is to absolutely destroy Abner. Amen. Conviction's a real thing. We're just trying to sow the seed
right.
for the glory of God. Stay with me now. It's all right. It'll be all right.
Right.
But the devil's busy. He's brutal. He's bloodthirsty. He'll do everything in his power to destroy a man's life.
And
Joab ain't playing to just make life a little hard or a little difficult. He said, if I get half a chance, I'm killing him. I'm killing him. That's the devil that Abner had. Then there's Abner's delay. You know where Abner's hanging around at? Hebron. Anybody know what Hebron is? When God got ready, when God brought him up out of Egypt, he designated six cities and he would have designated more if they'd have conquered more land. If they'd have got more territory, God would have given them more. Boy, them cities of refuge, that's worth preaching on tonight, but I ain't got time. There's six of them, three on each side of Jordan. But one of those six cities is known as Hebron. Abner is right at the gate. Abner is right there. I mean, he's right at the threshold. If he'll just go in, if he'll just come under the headship of that high priest, if he'll just come in under that protection, he'll be all right. But he's fooling around. He's hanging around. He stays too late down at the gate. Listen to me. Isaiah 1:18. Come now. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Brother, you tell me God ain't willing to meet me and you and have mercy on me and you. He come to a world that would reject him, spit on him, crucify him, cuss him, lie on him, reject him. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And yet he bore our iniquities. Chastised when our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed.
Thank God.
Amen. There's much more to be said about that Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
What a chapter, brother. But he delayed. But God said, come now. Now, I don't hand out invitations. The Holy Spirit has to hand out invitations.
Right.
I just preach his word. But I do know this, Proverbs 27, he said, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 29, this is the danger of you being reproved and you never yielding to it. He that being often reproved hardeth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Ain't no cure for it. You know, I want to show you something. Turn over to Acts 17 with me. Acts 17. There's three responses to every message. You'll find them in Acts 17, the end of that chapter. Three responses to every message. The Bible said this in verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Now listen to it. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They didn't want to hear it.